everyone that's on the line. And so today I want to talk about keep your ear to the wall. Because today I really, really want to talk to you about being beware of the leaven. We're being fed the bread from heaven. We really are. We've learned so much about its value, its worth. We learned about what exactly it really is. It's about being in the rhema and staying in the rhema and really, really being nourished by it. We've learned that we unlock the realm of sonship and we unlock the realm of our lordship by being nourished in the rhema word. And so today God wants to point out another area where Satan himself is trying to feed us bread as well. He's trying to nourish us and he's trying to get us built up in what the Bible calls his leaven. It's where sin comes from. It is one of the greatest examples of what sin really is. And so leaven is just, it's this swelling agent. It causes bread to rise. And it, once you put a little bit in, it spreads everywhere. And so God is feeding us from heaven unleavened bread. It's without sin. It's without mistake. It's without error. It's perfect. And Satan wants to get us full and fat off of his leavened bread. Amen?
Amen.
And so today we're going to talk to you about beware of the leaven, because it really is something that will come and nullify the nourishing power of the bread of heaven. It really, really will. You'll be full with that and you won't want any more bread. You'll be so full off of what he's feeding you. So last week we learned that Christ wants to give us all of his means. And that's what we found is in the bread of heaven. Just as he lived by the Father, we too would live by him if we eat him, which we've been finding out. As we eat him daily, we'll live by him daily. And to live by him, it means that we then receive all of his means. Just as he lived by the Father, we too would live by him if we eat him daily. By eating Christ the rhema, we would now be filled with all of his means. Everything that he has at his disposal now works in our life.
Amen.
Satan too now he's got means that he wants us to live by. He wants us nourished up in his bread or his doctrine so he can cod block our true state of favor, power, and authority. This is demonic. The demonic bread is full of leaven. He tries his best to keep us nourished up in it to the point where we are already full and have no desire for the bread of heaven. And so now we're being fed two sources of bread here. And we have to recognize when leaven is coming into the mix. Because remember, we're going to look at a scripture in just a moment that describes a little bit of leavening the whole entire lump. So first I want to read to you from Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We read it last week, but there's a point here that the Lord wants to point out about the means. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Key to understand. "And nothing shall by any means," didn't recognize that last week, "hurt you." Nothing by any means of the power of the enemy will be able to hurt us because we are so filled with the means of the Father, the means of Christ. So the means of the enemy, which mean his methods and his action or system by which results are brought about, all of his methods, all of his system on how to get results, how to get sin to enter into our lives, all that stuff is null and void because the Bible declares to us that we'll have all power. Excuse me, we'll have over all the power of the enemy. We'll have all power, not all power, but we'll have power over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any of his means will be able to hurt us. They'll have no effect on us because we're full of the means of the Father and Amen. Christ Jesus. So we got to get that. Let's nip that right there. So when we're eating the bread of heaven, and we're staying in this word, all of his methods, all of the system that he comes to bring to us to get results, his negative results, to disconnect us from kingdom, is not going to have any effect. We just got to keep on eating our daily bread fragments.
Amen.
All right. So notice, when we are nourished and living by the means of Christ, the enemy's means have no power. They've got no effect. Nothing he has or can do will bring hurt unto us. His methods and system won't bring his desired, he has too, desired and intended results for our lives. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But let's go check this out. Let's look at the danger of this leaven that he's trying to feed us. God is trying to feed us what we would call, I guess we call it flatbread, pita bread. He's trying to feed us bread that has no rising in it whatsoever. The leaven in the word has always been, since the Passover, signia for sin. And it would delay them. Had they put a leaven in that bread, it would have delayed their Passover, because it takes a moment for it to rise. And they had to eat in haste. And so the leaven, watch this now, that's so easy to understand. Leaven, it nullifies your Passover. It nullifies you living in God's methods and ways. Mm-hmm. Just as they would have missed it if they put leaven in their bread, because they would have never been ready to eat the Passover, to go ahead and find their exodus. And that's exactly what leaven does. It tries to keep us from finding our exodus place. It's trying to keep us from moving forward and living life in abundance. Leaven is signia of sin. Sin is trying to hold us back. It's trying to nullify the power of the kingdom. It's trying to nullify the power and nourishment of the bread of life. So let's look at the danger of this thing a little bit more here. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read verses 6 through 8. Man, this is good. Put your ear to this morning, everyone. It says here, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Right, it goes on to say, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. There it is. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Oh, I love this. Let us continue to eat. Not, that's what it's saying there. Let us continue to eat, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Bless
now,
God.
The leaven is this here, and this is crazy. It means of inveterate. It means of inveterate, which mental or moral corruption. It means it's viewed in its tendency to infect others. That's the danger behind the leaven. It's inveterate. And what that means, it means it's addicting. It's habitual. You get hooked on it. You become obsessive. I like this deep definition here of inveterate. It means dyed in the wool. Dyed in the wool. So when you dye wool, it's not going to change back. It means deep-seated. And the world's definition suggests that leaven becomes incurable.
Huh.
It becomes incurable. Once bread rises, you're not going to pull that out. You can't bake it and then say, oh, I wish I'm going to change it into something that's unleavened. So as the world standards, it's incurable. All right. So now leaven I thought this was really powerful. Leaven is infectious. It's infectious. The scripture that I'm reading from in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it really shows something powerful. And we're going to break it down in just a moment. So leaven is described as being habitual, deep-seated behavior. The world's definition suggests and says, that's it's incurable. But watch what the word tells us, that we don't have to keep the feast with the old leaven.
Amen.
So the word is telling us it is curable, that we don't have to keep it. We don't have to keep moving and walking in the leaven that the enemy is dishing out to us, pulling on our heartstrings, causing us to make mistakes, causing us to fail. So there is hope here. There is hope, and that hope is by eating the bread of life, by eating Christ Jesus, the Rhema word, that all of the leaven of the enemy that you've been addicted to over the years will be lifted and purged out of your system. But we can eat our bread without leaven. We can eat the true bread of heaven, so we can be cured of the leaven of the enemy. But he's still trying to feed us leaven.
Yes,
oftentimes, according to Mark 4, the Bible says that after the word has been sown in our hearts, Satan comes immediately. So he tries to butt in right after you've eaten the bread of life and after you've gotten a good rhema session. Here comes Satan to try to feed you his leaven all over again.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to celebrate good with evil. Because if you celebrate good with evil, the Bible says evil will never depart from your house. So he's trying to, as the unleavened bread is building you, Satan is there right there to feed you the leaven right next to it, to kind of nullify it and cause it to become unfruitful.
Wow.
So watch this here. The lump is where the leaven wants to end up. All right, listen to me now. The lump is where it wants to end up. The lump basically describes the whole body. The whole body. You see, in this particular scripture I'm reading from, a man was sleeping with his father's wife. The church of Corinth they didn't care at all. They didn't check him on it. It didn't bother them. Not that they were all doing that, what he was doing. But this man, if you read this chapter and you read the beginning of this chapter, he's having an affair with his father's wife. Theologians suggest that the father had passed away, but he was sleeping with her, and they had developed a relationship. And the church of Corinth wasn't checking it. Everybody knew about it, but nobody was saying anything. So now we look at this here, and Paul is letting them know, your glorying isn't good. Yeah, you may be wealthy, you may have a lot of money, but you're not dealing with an issue. So now watch what Paul says in the same chapter. I'll read the first two verses, kind of went backwards here, but watch this. It says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. In other words, this is some real messed up stuff, that one should have his father's wife. He says here, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So Paul tells them that you guys are puffed up. You're watching your prosperity. You're watching your natural blessing, but you're not dealing with this. And you don't even know, but you're puffed up. The word puffed up means you're already inflated. You've already got leaven because you're not dealing with a situation. So now his leaven has now leavened the entire church of Corinth. The entire church is puffed up. The entire church is leavened because nobody's dealing with it. You see it, but it's not being dealt with. So a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It becomes infectious. And because they're not dealing with it with the unleavened bread, with the bread of heaven, now the entire church is swole. They have been leavened. They have risen in this because they're not dealing with it. Okay, so they cause a thing, and it means this. It puffed up means to cause a thing to pass into nature. So this was about to settle as a new norm for them. It was about to settle into their godlike nature and not be dealt with. And so there'd be sin and godliness dwelling in the same place. And Paul was letting them know, this is wrong. This can't be. You can't let this settle in here. But you're already puffed up. You're already inflated. You're not dealing with the issue. Hence, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen. Amen.
This is the danger of leaven coming. Satan knows that it will become infectious. He knows that if it's there, it will hinder the entire move. Paul was like, y'all should have been mourning about this. You should have been trying to figure out how to uproot this and how to get this boy out. Paul then goes on to say, turn this boy over to Satan so he can be saved. His spirit can be saved in the latter. But turn him over. turn him over. That's how much the Lord wants leaven out of the church and from around us. Because Satan's, his doctrine, his leaven is so infectious. Look at when he first brought leaven into the garden and whispered into Eve's ear. It became infectious. Look at how bad it's infected the human race. It's still infecting us now. Because leaven came in, he whispered in her ear and said, will you not be wise to know good and evil just like God? He brought leaven into an unleavened doctrine.
Amen.
And it got us all till to this day. So this is the danger of leaven. When we mix leaven with the unleavened, when we allow and we nourish ourselves up in the unleavened, and yes, I'm coming with it this morning because it's really important that we fight harder. That we come in and we get nourished, I mean thoroughly nourished with the bread of heaven, so that we have no desire for the unleavened bread of the enemy.
Amen, God.
So in other words, the leaven was spreading and this behavior was seeping into their way of life. They were already inflated. It was taking the place of the true bread and diet that the Lord had intended for them. They weren't mourning and trying to get rid of it. Of the leaven, they simply just didn't care. And it was going to have repercussions. All right. Now we're going to look over the book of Matthew. We're going to hang out in Matthew 16, I believe, for the duration of the message. The Lord warns us of the leaven. Again, if you haven't heard, this is about two pieces or two styles of bread that we're fed with. We're fed with the unleavened bread, the pureness, the truth. The rhema word that will cause us to live by, to live through, to live with, to walk in the fullness of God's kingdom. In every regard, the full means of the kingdom and of God will be at our disposal. And then we have this leavened bread that is designed to nullify, to nourish us up in sin, and the desires and the lust of the flesh and all this mess that comes to buffet and to cancel, to nullify, to cross out kingdom living and really, really open us up to the way of the world. All right. In Matthew, the Lord warns us here of the leaven. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12, it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Boy, oh boy, these guys, I tell you. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Look at how it ties in right where we've been, guys, right here. Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? In other words, Jesus is saying, man, if we need bread, you saw how easy I get you bread. If we need it, you know good and well, it don't take nothing from me because I walk in the means of my Father. No, I'm not talking to you about natural bread. I'm not telling you to beware because you didn't bring bread to the other side so we could eat. I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with this. Verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He's warning them to not walk in any other doctrine other than the doctrine that you're receiving from me. Beware of it. So he's warning them not to get caught in the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called their doctrine leaven and called them hypocrites. He basically was saying he called them actors. That's what a hypocrite is. Under an assumed character, he called them pretenders. They acted like men of God, but in truth, they had nothing to do with God. So he warns them to stay away from them and their doctrines. Their doctrine and way of life was infectious. It was full of leaven. It was the happening thing. People had mad respect for the Pharisees and Sadducees until Jesus came in and opened their eyes. These pretenders didn't have anything to do with God. Their doctrine, and let me tell you something God told me even deeper. He said, anything outside of the bread of life is hypocritical. It's not real. It's not right. It's infectious, and it's designed to cancel out and nullify the nourishment that's supposed to be coming from the bread of life. Anything outside of the will of God, outside of the rhema word of God, I don't care what it is. If it doesn't point to Christ, if it doesn't point to rhema, if it's not pointing to the way of the kingdom, then it becomes infectious. And it's designed to really cancel and to nourish you in the way of the world. You, even our love and that we have for one another, and sometimes we want to foster people in the wrong way, and we want to take care of them in the wrong way. We want to build them up in the wrong way because we know that's what they desire. No. That's leaven. That's leaven. If God isn't saying it, it's leaven. We're not to give them words that God is not giving us. We're not to give out words that God did not speak unto us. Jesus said, I only speak what I hear him say.
Amen, God.
I stay in the unleavened bread, and I stay nourished in the power and authority of the kingdom. I will not feed leaven out of my mouth to anyone.
Amen.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen. Right, let's look at this here. So he gives them a strong warning to watch out for this. Watch out. And now we're going to see a sample of when the true bread comes from heaven. And then we'll look at an example of how fast Satan tries to step in to begin to nourish right after that with leaven. And boy, how it's hidden behind the natural affection. I'm going to say that again. Oftentimes, leaven is hidden behind natural affection that we have one for another. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, it says here, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, here comes a name change, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Powerful right here. In this right here, these verses about maybe, what do we got, like 6 or 7 verses, we see the full revelation of being nourished by daily bread. We see the full dimension of God's peace that came as a result of a fragment given unto Peter. He called him blessed, which means highly favored. He's highly favored. He's moving in favor. You're blessed here, Peter. You're blessed. First of all, it didn't come from flesh and blood. You didn't get that from anyone else but my Father, which is in heaven, who has caused bread to come unto you today. He's caused unleavened bread. A fragment came unto you. And he said, now I call you, because you're a fragment gatherer, I call you Peter, which means a piece of the rock, a Petra. I call you a fragment now, Peter. You're a fragment yourself. And he says here, this is exactly how I intend, or I will rather, build my church. I'm going to build my church off of fragment gatherers. I'm going to build my church off of those that are eating the bread of heaven. This is how I'm building my church. And watch this, just like
you told us,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You will not, they will not. Why? Because you're living in my means. You're living in my means. And then he reveals to him here in verse 19, lordship, and I will give thee the keys. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All this came as a result of Peter eating a fragment, getting a rhema. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It wasn't per se, yes, it had something to do with the particular rhema that he had, but it was something there that was God, that Christ saw and recognized, and he heard Peter nourished in a different way. He heard the quickening enter into Peter. And it's through this that he will build his church upon. Gathering fragments is our place of absolute favor. It is the absolute will of God. It's the absolute will of Christ Jesus himself that we would live by it. He will build his church. It's not a building, people. It's a people. He's building people by fragments, by eating the fragments that come. The rainbows that. And he says, I'm telling you now, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, not here. Because I will fill you with my means, and I will fill you, and I will cause you to be full so you desire nothing else outside of the will of my Father. And I tell you that I'm going to give you the keys. I'm handing over lordship to you here. You fragment gatherers, you fragment eaters, you that stay in my rhema word, that stay built up and nourished by it. I'm telling you now, whatsoever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. And whatever you say is unlawful or lawful in the earth, that it should be. In other words, the words you speak, let me make this plain for you. What you say is what I'll cause to be. I'll cause it to mirror in heaven. I'll cause it to mirror in heaven. Why? Because you're built up in my rhema word. You're not speaking outside of me. You're speaking by way of who I am. You're speaking my will. Just like the Father has given all judgment into my hands, I release it into your hands. I give you the power, and I endorse the words coming out of your mouth. Why? Because you're nourished up in my rhema. You're caught up in my timing. You're caught up in my temperament. You're caught up in me. You're caught up in everything that I am. You're in Kairos. Therefore,
hallelujah,
Jesus. On earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, it is loosed in heaven as well. So we see the result, and we see bread fall, and it fell on Peter. And Peter was nourished, man. And Jesus saw and recognized that he had heard the difference of how he was speaking. We say, man, you flesh and blood, that didn't come out of your flesh and blood, Peter. My Father just fed you. My Father fed you. And this is the result of that. Name change. I tell everybody on this line, if you get rhema, if you're getting rhema, you too are Peter. You're a piece of. You're a fragment. You're a fragment that gathers fragments. And then you read it, and then you distribute those fragments that you've gathered. You are just like you are Petra. I'm telling you on this line right now, you are Petra. You are a piece of the rock. Who is the rock? Christ Almighty is the rock. And you become a piece of who he is. And so now watch this. The word blessed actually translates a poetical makar. You become the same as.
Bless God.
Gathering fragments.
Hallelujah. All right, here we go.
So Simon gets a rhema from God the Father and tasted for the first time the bread of heaven. Jesus then tells him, blessed. He's blessed. How blessed he was. You've eaten this bread, man. In fact, I'll change your name to Petra. You're a piece of it. You're a fragment yourself. He also reveals that he would build his church on those that get fragments. and reveals the authority that would be a result as well that the church would walk in by living by the fragments, by the bread fragments of heaven. Again, the word blessed means poetical makar, meaning the same. You're the same as me, Peter. You're the same as me because you're eating the same diet. You're eating the quickened revelation word of God. So at the moment of consumption of the bread of heaven of Christ, Christ says it right there. Excuse me. We are the same. We too enter into lordship with keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You see that? Whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
Amen.
Period. So now, and whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. A true flow of favor, power, and authority came unto Peter, just as it comes unto you and unto me. But watch this. How quickly and subtly Satan feeds us leaven. Same chapter. This is where it gets really good, guys. Open up your ears now. In Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23, it says here, from that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, the word shew means to reveal with words. So Jesus is speaking to them about his what's going to happen to him. He's showing them with words. And so now, then Peter, the fragment gatherer, Petra, he took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Watch this now. This gets real interesting. Verse 23 says, but he turned and said unto Peter. He turned and said unto Peter. There's a comma there for those of you not following my notes. There's a pause. And then he says, get thee behind me. Boy, this is about to blow up. And there's a comma there and another pause. Then he calls out Satan. He says, Satan. So he puts Peter behind him. Then he calls Satan out. Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest, look at that word, savorest, not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So what happened here, I've read this scripture so many times and never saw it this deep like this. I've never seen it. I believe we have an accurate rhema on this scripture right now. He puts Peter behind him because he didn't call him Simon. He called him by his new name. He didn't call him Simon. You need to hear again. That's what Simon means. Hearing or hear again. He calls him Peter. He's still calling him Petra. So he's saying, Petra, get behind me. He's trying to protect the hearer. Then he calls Satan out.
Man.
He says, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So what Satan was doing, he pulls on our heartstrings. He'll use, like I told you earlier, the natural affection against us. So he used Peter's against him to the point where Peter was speaking against the will of God. He was actually speaking through the leaven of the enemy. Watch this now. Anything, and I mean anything outside of the will of God, is leaven. The Lord noticed that Peter was tasting another type of bread that wasn't from heaven. The word savorous means to savor, which means to taste and enjoy completely. Watch me. You see, here, Satan knew that Peter truly enjoyed Jesus with him. So he fed him a false leaven through his natural affection. When Jesus recognized this, he goes into protect and attack mode against the false leaven. He tells Peter to get behind him and call Satan out. Watch this. Here's proof of it. The word man, he told Satan, you savor the things that be of man and not of God. The word man means the notion of weakness by which a man is led into mistakes and prompted to sin. Now I get the full understanding. Satan was savoring Peter's weakness and affection for Jesus, the man.
Jesus.
So Satan began to savor on Peter's weakness. Then he fills Peter with leaven to tell the Lord, no, it's not going to happen. You're not going to die. This is not going, it's not going down like that. So Jesus then sees, hey, wait a minute, you're eating another bread. This is not the bread of my Father. For it is the will of my Father that I die. So I realize, Jesus realizes, this is not the bread of life that coming out of Peter's mouth. This is that leavened bread that Satan, and this is how it works. Satan feeds off our weaknesses. Then he feeds us our weaknesses after he sees our weaknesses. Then he feeds us. Now we have leaven coming in, and now we're moving off of leaven because Satan is trying to feed us in our weaknesses.
Oh, God, I bless you, Jesus.
He's trying to nullify the strength and power, the nourishing power of the unleavened bread of life. He's trying to cancel it out and trying to fill us with the desires of our flesh. It was Satan savoring, not Peter. Satan savors the things that be of man. He savors and feasts on our weaknesses. And then he feeds us them, those same weaknesses, through his enticements, through his words. It seems so innocent, Peter saying, no, Lord, be it far from thee. It seems so innocent, but my God, but because it was not the will of God, it was leavened bread coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw how Satan was savoring. He was tasting. He was tasting the flavors of the weakness. And then he began to feed Peter that same leaven. And so this is what we have to be aware of. That my God, one moment, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood. He's eating the bread of life. And then in the next moment, he's eating the leavened bread of the enemy. Eating the leavened bread, now being controlled by the leaven. Now things are now all mixed up.
Oh, wow.
And remember, a little leaven is leavening the whole lump. So the reason why Jesus attacked it so quickly is that Peter's affection would have spread to the other disciples, and it could have been catastrophic had not the Lord fed him again with the unleavened bread of heaven.
Had not
the Lord rebuked that the leaven that was coming through Satan, it could have been catastrophic. Why? Because all of the other disciples could have began to feel the same way. It could have become infectious. Because that's what leaven is. All of the disciples, Peter's the only one, and you could still see he had some issues with it, because when they came to take him, Peter's the one that drew his sword and cut the ear off. But the Lord protected the others by rebuking Satan that leaven would not be infectious.
Bless God.
Jesus. What am I saying here? I'm simply saying we have to beware of the leaven. We have to be on point. We've got to be filled and nourished with the bread of heaven. We've got to watch out for the subtlety of the enemy who tries constantly to feed us right after we've had a meal with God most times. He tries to get us to put our feet up and relax, that we can chill and we can do this or we can do that. And we start to live off of that leaven once again, and we become so lackadaisical. And then when it's time to move in power and authority and time for favor to come, we're filled with leaven. And the Bible tells us that we began with purge out the old lump. Purge it out. Purge it out. Get rid of it. Leave no room. Leave no room for the devil.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Being filled and nourished with Christ, with the true bread of heaven. So Satan here savored. Peter began to savor, but it was Satan that was being rebuked. Make no mistakes. It was Satan being rebuked. He was feasting on the weakness of Peter and his natural affection for Jesus. He fed on it and saw an opportunity to feed him something that was not the will of God. But I love how Jesus moves here. He checks this quickly so it won't become infectious. He checks it quickly and then spread to the rest of the disciples. He checks it quickly. He moved fast. And he let me know, he said, Todd, I do the same thing for you all. You hearers, you fragment gatherers.
Yes.
That when leaven is coming in, how quickly I move and I shift by giving you the unleavened bread of heaven. How quickly I uproot that leaven and give you strength to move in the righteousness of God. I do it for all my hearers because I said, on this rock, I will build my church.
Hallelujah.
You fragment gatherers, you're the ones I'm looking to. You're the ones I'm protecting. I am your shield. I am your buckler, and I will surround you as favor. The shield of my favor will be there.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I thank God for Christ being our sustainer. I thank God for being our shield, that Christ is our shield. How many times has the enemy tried to feed you with the leaven right after God just blessed you? And all of a sudden, he's feeding you and you don't even know it. He's shifting your diet that you be nourished up in the lust of your flesh and not nourished in the power and authority of the kingdom of God. But look at our God. Look at Jesus, how quickly he comes to purge out the old leaven again and keep us fed. Oh, hallelujah. That's why he says, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Why? Because each fragment will replace the leaven of the enemy that tried to come at you. Every time you eat a fragment, and if you did eat leaven, I promise you, I will purge out the old lump and reposition you back in power and authority. Hallelujah. How many times has he done that for you? How many times have you experienced the shift from fear and doubt into faith and courage? How many times have you experienced the shift because you ate a fragment? Now you're nourished up again. Power and authority. You don't look for favor. You already got favor. You're moving in lordship because he fed you. That's why he says, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost, because of the power and the virtue that's in each fragment. It purges out the old. It reminds me of the story when the children of Israel were bitten by a bunch of vipers. And then Moses had to make a staff, a golden staff. I believe that was the replica of a viper itself. And those that looked on the staff of Moses, those that looked at the viper that was created, they were all healed. It reminds me of that yes, we may eat this leaven at times, but my goodness, when we look upon and we eat the bread of life, the antidote that we need to purge out the old lump is right there to heal us, to suck out the poison of the leaven of the enemy, to suck out the lie and the doctrine of the enemy. It comes right out. When we eat the bread of life, we're purged.
Thank you, Lord God.
And reestablished in strength and power again. But just beware of the leaven. Be mindful of the leaven. Listen to the leaven. You'll hear it differently now. You'll hear his trickery. Even though it might have been a part of the way that you lived for so long, you'll hear it differently now. Your ears are open, says God. Your ears are open, says God. You will decipher muttered whispers like you never have before. You'll know when Satan is trying to draw you with his leaven. And my shield will be right there. That's why I say gather the fragments. Because one bite of one fragment will purge out. It will totally destroy any false leaven coming from the enemy. Don't be afraid. I told you already that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just keep gathering the fragments. Just keep gathering the fragments. And don't just gather them and write them down. Get up and eat them. Glory be to God. Just beware. I've made you wise today, says the Lord. I've opened your ears and I've opened your eyes to the way of your enemy. I can keep you nourished, consistently nourished with the bread of heaven without having any more gaps, no more breaches between me and you, between me, you, the power of my kingdom, no more breaches, only nourished. Only nourished. Hey, God, yeah. Only nourished. The bread that comes from heaven. Fully nourished. Fully nourished. That's what I'm doing. And that's what I've done. Lift your hands before the Lord if you're under the sound of my voice. Lift your hands. Oh, glory be to God. 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 Yes. Yes. See, some of you have been trying to move mountains, but there has been leaven mixed in. And I'm sorry to tell you, but it's true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I'm sorry that you haven't been able to see the shift and the changes that you wanted to see. But now, understand, when you're fully nourished in me, lift up your voices before me. Hear and then speak when you've been nourished before me. And if you have leaven, if you know you have leaven, eat a bite of the fragment so we can get rid of it, so I can move in power through you without leaven. Because leaven hinders. Understand when there is leaven there. Understand it. Let me come in by the fragment and judge it and move it out. Then lift up your voice. Then lift up your voice. You'll be mountain movers. Yeah, this will be the year that you see the free favors, as I said. I'm positioning you perfectly for it. And your time has come. Your time is here. Your time is now. Hallelujah. It's now. I'm even shifting now. I'm shifting now. You're allowing me to purge. You're allowing me to purge even right now. And that's great. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Leaven won't block kingdom anymore. It won't hinder kingdom any longer. No more leaven, no more leaven, no more leaven. Yes, just by the purity and the truth of the word of the Lord, eating the unleavened bread, being filled with it. Say unto the mountain that's before you now, say unto the mountain, say unto the mountain, get up out of my way. Move up out of my way. Exercise lordship over it. Because it's in the bread in which you're eating. It's in the unleavened bread that you just feasted on. Exercise your sonship from here.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Exercise it now. Take the moment and exercise. Thank me for prosperity.
Yes, God.
Thank me for my favor, for it is in the bread which you're eating. It's already there in you.
Thank you.
It's already working on your behalf. It's already working on your behalf. Hey, God, yeah. It's working on your behalf now. You're already nourished.
Thank you.
You don't have to ask me for nourishment here. You don't have to ask me for favor. Thank me for the meal I just fed you. And in that meal is favor. In that meal is prosperity. Thank me for it. You don't thank a person or ask a person for something to eat after you've already been nourished. All that your body needed was already there. You've already eaten. God is saying the same thing. You don't have to ask me for anything. You can thank me for it, though. That's what the Bible says, thanking the Father in the name of Jesus. Afterwards, we just say, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I guess we're just going to have to get the revelation that after he feeds us the rhema, we already got everything we needed. We just don't know it like that. I'll tell you why. Because there's been so much leaven in the body of Christ and in the doctrines of old that we've coupled so many mistakes as calling them godly, as calling them holy, as calling them righteous. Timing has been so off, not understanding or discerning the times, just like the Sadducees and Pharisees, not understanding what God has already handed out in the wealth of his word. We don't understand that. We still go away asking for things and asking him to do this. No. If he fed you the true riches of heaven, then he's fed you everything else that you need. It's already there. Thanking him. Oh, glory be to God. Have an understanding. Grow up in him. Be nourished in the truth.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, we give you glory. 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 For purging out the old lump, Lord, we give you glory. I said to them, he said, you are clean by the words in which I have spoken. All that of leaven has been moved out.
Jesus. Glory, Jesus.
Come on, we're not going to live in the old leaven. We're not going to live, I'm sorry to say, we're not going to live like the rest of the church. Walking around like we broke and busted, walking around like we have no power and no authority. We're not living like that anymore. Those days are over when we have eaten of the bread of life.
Hallelujah.
We've gotten everything we need.
Hallelujah.
This is where our lordship is revealed. This is where being kings is revealed. A royal priesthood is revealed here. A holy nation has been revealed here. Sons of God. The Bible says this, as he is, so are we in this life. You better receive that.
Yes.
And value the word and give it its true value. How dare you think that favor and prosperity are above the word? The word is favor. The word is prosperity. How dare you for a moment think it's harder to procure favor and prosperity? The word, this is the true riches.
Yes, it is.
Everything else comes underneath.
Yes, it is.
So if he's giving you this, you already have that. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Just beware of the leaven. Beware of that poison that the enemy tries to shove down your throat. Beware of it. Watch his subtleties. Yes. He's a snake, people. He moves like one all the time. He did it to Peter. He pulled on his heartstrings to set out a demonic leavened word about Jesus not going to the cross. No, sir. No, sir. And you've got to open up your mouth, say, you're an offense to me, Satan. Savoring off my weakness, tasting my weakness and trying to feed it back to me. You're an offense unto me. And you're an offense unto my Lord. Yeah. Ooh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Ooh,
yes, Lord. We got some comments I'll read to you. We got some comments. First comment comes in from Elder Allison. She says, amen and amen. Erica's on the line today. She says amen. Kurt says amen. Elder Donna says amen, amen. Curtis said, and I saw you when I studied this part too, Kurt. I knew that would get you. He says, wow, Jesus protected Peter. Powerful.
Amen, amen.
Donna says, bless God. God be the glory. Kurt says, yes, he is, Cap. He truly is our shield.
Yes, he is.
Tommy's on the line today. He says, our shield. Yes, Lord. Amen, Tommy. Amen. And Elder Allison rounds us off with hallelujah. And I say amen to all of your comments. I agree. I truly agree to all of them. It's so real, everybody. It's so real. I've experienced his power. I've experienced his nourishment. I've experienced his lordship. I've been experiencing all in which I've been talking to you about. I've been seeing it. It's so real. And God wants us to be in the place that we don't flow with spot or wrinkle. Not a church in need of favor. That's a spot. When you need favor, it's a spot. Not a church in need of rescue. Because when you need rescue, that's a wrinkle. But a church that lives in favor, that has already been rescued, that's the church he's coming for.
Jesus.
We live in favor. When we gather and eat the daily bread fragments, we are without wrinkle. You're not needing rescue. You've already been rescued. The word has already rescued you. How in the world can he make a statement? And he sent his word and healed us. And then after we hear the word, we go asking for healing. No, thank him for it.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Oh, is somebody going to get
that? Amen, God. Amen, God. Amen, God. Amen, God.
The beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You don't ask for healing after the word comes. You don't ask for anything. You just go immediately into thanksgiving. Prophetess has said it, and I say it again. I say it all again. Oh, God. I say it all again here. She says that this ministry will be built on thanksgiving, and I understand it more and more and more. Built on thanksgiving. Why? Because we're fragment gatherers, and only thing we're doing is thanking him for the things in which we need it done. We want it done. We live in the realm of thanksgiving. Because we value the word at its highest level. We value him. The word is God.
Jesus.
I'm done right there. I'm finished.
Hallelujah.
Finished right there, guys. I'm so caught up right now. I feel his presence, though I can't lie. I feel his presence. I feel his anointing, I feel his nourishment. I feel strength. I feel his power. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Jesus, I'm so grateful. I hear him say this, though. Take note. Don't force thanksgiving. Don't force it. If you're not filled with my unleavened bread of life, don't force your thanksgiving. Don't thank me when you're in need of bread. Eat the bread first. And if you have a deficit of bread, ask me for the bread. And when I've filled you, then thank me.
Mm-hmm.
But do not force thanksgiving. That's leaven. I hear you, Lord. That's the leaven. To force it, just to say it because the Bible says so. Don't do that. Thank me when you've been filled with my bread.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Ooh.
Hey, God.
Ooh.
Ooh, God, yes. Amen. Amen. We're going to sow our seed.